Welcome to the Music Therapy Roundtable Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel Rambach,
Michelle Erford,
Matt Logan,
and Kimberly Senna Moore.
We are four board-certified music therapists with a mission to empower you to take charge of your personal and professional growth. Join us each month as we talk shop and share stories, tips, and ideas about music therapy. Thanks for stopping by. Happy birthday, Music Therapy Roundtable. This month marks our 6th year since launching the podcast on February 5th, 2010. We've covered countless topics and hosted numerous guests in the past 74 episodes, while behind the scenes, we've navigated both personal and professional changes. In this episode 75 of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast, you'll get to know us even better as we share stories related to our journeys as music therapists. So, can you guys believe that this is episode 75 and we've been at this for 6 years now?
It feels like only two for me.
That's true.
Or one. I don't know. How long has it been since I joined you all?
Has it been? It's been two or just a year?
I think it's been two. Yeah.
It feels longer than that, though, Matt. Like, it feels like you've always been with us from the beginning.
Yeah, I know. It feels like pulling teeth, huh? It's like, oh, man.
I cannot believe we're in our sixth year. It feels like we haven't been doing this that long.
It really doesn't. And it's crazy to think how the podcast world has evolved since we began.
Yeah, how do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, when we started, I didn't even really know what a podcast was, and nobody else that I knew was podcasting. I didn't listen to podcasts. And now, like, that's my favorite thing is listening to podcasts, and they're everywhere. So it's, I think that they've really, the whole medium has just really changed and become more popular since we started. So I kind of feel like we started that whole movement, really.
We're definitely a part of it, for sure. Yeah. I remember when we first started, I don't know if SoundCloud and all those other like podcast third-party kind of websites were around, because I remember we were like, or really, Rachel, you were the bulk of this work, just trying to figure out how the heck do we get on iTunes and how do we, like all those technical things, like how do we really do this?
Right, right. Yeah, it's gotten a lot easier and become more user-friendly, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. And, you know, I think we need to give a shout out to our listeners as well, because a large reason why, I would say the primary reason, because as much as I like the three of you and enjoy these monthly chats, what really keeps me going, despite, as you said, Rachel, all the personal and professional changes, is getting the feedback from the listeners, which has come through emails and conference meetings and, you know, Twitter connections and Facebook and things like that. So I really want to thank you all, readers, for sticking with us all these years.
Well, we've told lots of stories over the years and in these last 74 episodes, but I don't think that we've ever shared the reason why we became music therapists and what led us to music therapy. So I thought that would be kind of a fun way to kick off this 75th episode.
I love these stories. It's like the how you met stories, but professional how you met.
Right. Who wants to go first?
I will. So I started off as a flute performance major at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And it was never... I always knew I would go into music. That was never a question. Music came easily to me. I loved music. I liked playing. But I also knew that I didn't want to make a career as a performer, largely because I don't really like to practice. And music education didn't quite float my boat. But I went on and I started as a flute performance major. And the summer after my freshman year, I was taking summer school at the University of Kansas. And I had, if you're like, why Kansas, why North Carolina? I went to high school in Kansas City. I got accepted. The place I chose to go to college was UNC Chapel Hill, go Tar Heels. And then went back, you know, for the summer. And I ended up lifeguarding with a girl. Her name's Amy. She's a woman now, not a girl, because she's older than me. A woman named Amy who was completing her music therapy degree. And she had just finished her coursework and was about to start her internship at the VA in Topeka. And I was just really intrigued by this field, and I had never heard of it before. And so we had conversations. She invited me over to the apartment she shared with her husband to look through some of her books. And you know how every once in a while you have these pivotal moments that stick with you? They're turning points in your life. And I had one in her apartment that night. I remember sitting in front of her bookshelf, flipping through this music therapy text, and I'm just thinking, this is what I want to do. I knew it so deeply that I ended up over the summer transferring schools to the University of Iowa. I never really got a chance to say, you know, this was pre the ubiquitous of social media and email. So I never really got to say goodbye to all my friends or my professors at UNC. I just up and changed the course of what I was doing. And I started that fall at the University of Iowa as a music therapy major, and was still in the flute studio. And one other kind of fun fact, the like Thursday or Friday before I drove up to Iowa to start kind of that chapter of my life, I observed music therapy at the VA, and I got to watch some music therapy sessions, and I met Alicia Ann Claire. No, wow, I totally messed up that. I met Dr. Claire at the VA before I went to Iowa. So that's my story.
It's hard for me to imagine just changing course so quickly and abruptly. That must have been a surprise for you, for your family, for your friends.
it was a surprise for everyone, but I'm very thankful that my family was supportive. You know, it changed things financially. There was a lot of paperwork to kind of maneuver and navigate, and sure, I had help with that. But I'm glad I did it.
And at that point, were you thinking, I'm going to be a professor of music therapy? I'm going to get a PhD in this? Did you know that right away, or did that come later?
Yeah, how are you here now? Because you're not the clinical. You're doing a lot. How did you get here?
No. You know, that part was not on my radar, but what was, you know, growing up, education was really important in my family, and it was rather expected that I would earn at least a master's degree. So that much I knew at the time. I didn't, and of course, you know, college degrees can go anywhere. I didn't know that it was going to be a master's in music therapy. I just knew that I wanted to do this thing called music therapy, and I had been accepted the year before at Iowa, and I wrote the flute professor, and I wrote, I don't know, undergraduate admissions or something like that, and they let me in, and that's where I started, like a month later.
Wow. That's incredible. Yeah.
All right. What about somebody else?
I'll go next. My story begins during college, my sophomore year, when I was a voice performance major at Rollins College down in Winter Park, Florida. And I was convinced that I was going to be a singer. My dream was to perform at Disney, which is part of the reason that I went to school in Florida. And then one day, I was writing a research paper for one of my music career classes, and we had to research a career in music. And just did a quick Google search, and music therapy pops up at the top of the list. And I'm like, what is music therapy? Never had heard of it in my life. So I'm Googling, I'm reading all of these articles, I'm going through all of these different college websites and reading about these programs and thinking, what was I missing that I had no idea that this was actually a thing? So I went straight to my advisor, told him that I had discovered music therapy and that it was what I wanted to do with my life. And he said, great, well, I know a music therapist in the area. I will hook you up with her and you can do some shadowing. So I ended up meeting this music therapist, and sat down with her, and she told me all about the studies that she went through, and then let me observe some of her sessions, and I was hooked. I knew that that was exactly the career for me. So I ended up, let's see, that was the about three-fourths of the way through my sophomore year. So I ended up going to my advisor and completely retooling my schedule for the following year so that I could graduate early and go to grad school for music therapy, because I was so far into my undergraduate degree that it didn't really make sense to transfer and start all over again with my undergrad. So ended up finishing halfway through my junior year, applied to a few grad schools, and ended up at Illinois State. And I was just 100% all in. I had never picked up a guitar before, so I had to learn the guitar the summer before I went. But I just, I couldn't wait to jump into music therapy, and was really thankful that I had, you know, taken all the classes that I needed to as a foundation in order to get going with the music therapy degree. And the rest is history.
Wow. Especially the guitar playing.
Yeah, I had never even had any interest in playing the guitar, honestly. And took a few lessons and then ended up just teaching myself the rest of, you know, just the bare bones basics. But I was just so motivated because as much as I loved singing and I loved vocal performance, there were a lot of things about it that I didn't like. And when I was being honest with myself, I just didn't see that being, you know, really, really fulfilling for me. So it was just a complete, like, flip was switched. And I realized, you know, this is it. This is it. So that's my story. Yeah.
Well, and one of the things that you've shared on this podcast, you know, in one of the other 74 episodes we've done so far, is that it was a surprise for you that you fell in love with and are building your career around working with children, because you had always wanted to work with older adults.
Yes.
And I'm wondering,
yes,
if that music therapist you shadowed, were you observing older adults, children, or was that...
She was actually working, she was in private practice, but where I have observed her was with a contract at a senior living facility. And part of the reason that music therapy spoke to me so clearly was that my grandmother had Alzheimer's disease, and I had seen the effect that music had on her. Of course, I didn't know that there was a name for that, and I didn't know that there was a career based on that. I had no idea. So when I kind of put two and two together, that was part of my impetus for following the path down the music therapy path. So, yeah, I had my heart set on that, and seeing her working with seniors and the effect that she had on them in the music therapy setting, that really solidified that for me. And it wasn't until I was in grad school, really my second year of grad school, that I even considered working with children. And I don't know, there was just something really special about it that I hadn't quite felt in the older adult setting that really caused me to reevaluate which population I wanted to end up with. So that's also kind of an interesting twist, because growing up and even, you know, as a high schooler in college age, I never had much interest in children and babysitting and that sort of thing. So I never thought that I would end up, you know, working with children as my life's work.
Did you see yourself becoming the music therapy tycoon that you are
or even the songwriter
business? Yeah, or the song. Well,
no, none of that. I mean, I had never written a song, and I looked at my peers in undergrad that were taking composition and was like, wow, it must be so cool to like write songs. How do people do that? I could never do that. And then, you know, in grad school, I was kind of forced to just start doing that so that I had material to use in my sessions. So that was a complete surprise. I never ever considered that as part of my career path. The entrepreneurial business owner side of things, I'm not too surprised that I ended up doing that and pursuing that, because I did always have interest in starting my own business. And that was always something that I thought would be really cool. And then in grad school, learning about private practice, that was always sort of like the end game, was like, yeah, I want to do that someday, eventually.
Nice.
And here, you are.
And here I am. That eventually someday has come.
Awesome. Awesome story. How about you, Matt? How did you find out about music therapy?
Oh, I was forced into it. No, I'm kidding.
Gunpoint or? Okay.
Well, just, I thought everybody, you know, grew up with an overbearing father who said, you must become a music therapist.
You're right. Out of all the music therapy beginning stories, I don't know that I've heard anyone say, I heard it about it as an infant and always wanted to do it.
So you're going
to
grow up and be a...
There's always a discovery that happens.
Yeah, no, I don't know. At some point in high school, somehow the idea got planted into my head that music just is therapy. And I know a lot of people feel that, but it occurred to me that it had to be, it had to exist. It had to be a field. It had to be a career path. And so, for a class, I had to do a little bit of research. I had to write a paper or something. So many people come into it this way. It's really not that interesting of a story, but, ended up writing a paper on it and saying, okay, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And I don't remember thinking like, oh my God, oh, I know that this is like the path for me. I don't remember this like big moment. It was just like, oh yeah, of course, this is what I'll do. And I tracked down and met up with a music therapist in Des Moines. Her name was Erin Gum. I don't know if she's still practicing. If she is, she should hit me up, because I'm thankful, because she sat down with me at a Panera Bread or somewhere and loaned a textbook to me, and I went through all that, and then I went on the college search and I drove down to KU. And so my story also involves Dr. Claire. You know, I wasn't even considering Iowa. I grew up an Iowa State fan, like sports fan, so Iowa was just out of the question. But I know, right? And I went and met with Dr. Claire, and she goes, well, you know, it'd be kind of a difficult path, because you're a guitarist. You know, we don't really have a studio for that, but what about Iowa? I said, well, what about Iowa, you know? I think everybody just knew it was kind of a ridiculous place. And she said, well, you should probably go check them out. And I went and met with Dr. Adamek there. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I could do Iowa. and that's where I ended up for both my undergraduate and my master's degrees. And I worked in Iowa for quite a while. And then three wild ladies who have a podcast asked me to join them. And now I do that.
I'm not often described as a wild lady.
Ditto that.
Speak for yourself.
So, thank you.
Oh, did I press some buttons there? I'm sorry. I know. Three very nice.
I think it's a compliment.
With an established podcast and established careers and businesses asked me to join them.
One of the things that I'm noticing that is consistent, I mean, Matt, you talked about there wasn't this big aha moment, whereas for me there was, and it sounds like with Rachel there kind of was too. But one thing that is consistent is that all of us, you know, somebody further along in the profession, either for, you know, as a professional or in my case, somebody who was almost an intern, spent time with us and, you know, answered our questions and talked to us about music therapy. And that stands out for me because it kind of gives me, I think it's too strong of a word, but it makes me think, okay, when people do either email or just ask and talk to me about music therapy, you never know whose life you're going to change.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, since you all have websites, you probably get the same emails that I do. And it's just all so many people looking for information and wanting to know what it's like. And people who are just seeking, you know, that they've had that aha moment and they're trying to figure out how they're going to get into the career. And it's kind of challenging, especially if you're further along another career path or degree program. But I'm sure you all encounter quite a few people too who've just discovered it. They've just had that moment.
Yeah, and I always put myself in their shoes and think, well, you know what? I was there at one point and we're all busy, but I love to take a few minutes and kind of just share my passion and help them maybe be more inspired to follow that path.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Michelle? What's your story?
Well, my story has a lot of similarities to you guys, but then not at the same time. I too, kind of like similar to Kimberly, found music therapy by process of elimination, where when I was in high school and it was time to figure out where to go to college, because going to college was a very big deal for my family, because like my generation of me and my sisters and my cousins, we were the first generation to go to college. And my parents were like, we don't care what you do, you just have to go, because they didn't go. So it was a very big deal to them that we get higher education. And so I had always grown up playing violin and enjoyed all my music classes that I ever had. And so when it was time to pick a major, I knew I really liked music, but I am too nervous to do concerts. I didn't want to be a performer, and I am a horrible teacher. I did not want to teach at all. And I actually, since I was a senior then, you know, I got all of the mailings from all the universities about their programs, and I opened up one for Slippery Rock University, and in their music majors it said music therapy. So I Googled it. That's how I found out about it. I Googled it, and then somehow, I'm not sure even how I got this connection, but there was a music therapist in my town as well, and my town is like very small Western Pennsylvania town, has 10,000 people in it, and if there was a music therapist employed there, I knew I could get a job anywhere, because if there was one in Warren, I could find a job anywhere. And she was working at the local psych hospital, behavior health hospital. And so I observed her for the day. And I just remember really enjoying what she did. And I really saw myself in her shoes, that I could do that every day too. And so I got really lucky, because I only applied to one university, and it was Slippery Rock, and they accepted me. And in one of our first music therapy related classes, they showed videos of Nordoff Robin sessions, and I was hooked. That was it. I never would have left it. So it all worked out really nicely, because I found it right away, found music therapy right away, and the rest is history.
And we're glad you did. That's awesome. I don't think I've ever heard your all's, you know, music therapy falling in love story. That was nice.
That's nice. That was your music therapy love story. That's perfect, because it is February right now.
Oh, and I didn't even plan that. There you go.
Well, look at that. Look at that.
You know, I think it's fun to reflect on those moments, but how about the moments that, like, when you, like, renew your love for it, or I don't know, like, I can think of so many times when I've been sitting in my, like, renowing your vows with music therapy.
I know, when you recommit, is that what you're saying?
Sure.
When you fall in love all over again?
Yeah, for real, when you fall in love all over again, because I think you do. Like, first you fall in love with the idea of it, like the concept of, like, helping people with music. Yeah, that's rad, that's awesome, of course I want to do that. But then you have those moments where, you know, something happens in a session, and you know, depending on your set, I mean, I can think of when I was doing hospice work so many times of just going back, sitting in my car and going, whoa, like, that was amazing. Or, you know, just driving around thinking, how lucky am I, or was I, to get to share that experience? And knowing that no matter how you try to tell that story or try to relate it to other people, like, they just, they're not going to get it because you don't have the full package. You don't have the music there. You don't have you can't really describe those interactions.
Yeah, Matt, I totally agree with you. And, you know, when I think back about a client or a clinical moment that stands out or holds special significance for me, I can't really think of one moment, but all the significant ones, there are always times when I see a smile from a patient or a client, like when there's a big response and I know it's because of music. And often the other people in the room, the family members, the other staff, they'll say it's me, but it's, you know, what we know, you know, we're just the vessels. But all of my happiest moments, my fond memories in clinical time has been just seeing that response and knowing it's just music and it's just that simple.
Yeah, I'm with you, Michelle, because I do have a couple of moments that stand out, and I'll share one in a second, but I also think there's the daily, not necessarily earth-shattering moments, but the daily, they're almost like daily affirmations that this is the right thing to be doing for me. And a lot of it does have to do with seeing client response and client changes and client reactions to what is happening musically. One moment, though, because I do, there are a handful of moments that really stand out. And one of them, and the ones that stand out are the ones, at least for me, that are very emotionally laden, which in hearing you talk, Matt, I wonder if that's the same because you were talking about these moments, especially in hospice. And I remember one in particular, and it's hard to describe, but it was, if you were to be an outside observer, it was just me singing a song in a hospital setting, and there was a woman about my age who had a very aggressive form of, at this time, I don't even know what kind of cancer, and her family was there. And if you would have just watched from the outside, it would have just looked like, oh, isn't that nice? Somebody's singing a song for this family. They're singing together. But what was actually happening in that moment, in that room, was profound for everyone. And I know it was for everyone because I ran into the father of this patient a week or two later, and he came up and gave me a hug. And so there was... And then she did eventually pass on, and the family asked me to play at her funeral, and they had met me once. So it was, again, hard to describe, but it involved being present together with the music in that moment. It was a real honor to be with that family in that moment. So that's one of my stories.
I have a story that just happened the other day, actually. And it was one of those moments that it was like, you know, just a regular session where we weren't expecting something, you know, amazingly out of the ordinary to happen, but it did. I have a client who I see every week, and we do a lot of reading and sight words and that kind of thing within the context of a singable story. And I had my intern with me, and I was working on a book with her, and her mom stepped out of the room to take a phone call, the client's mom. And while she was out of the room, this client read more words than she ever had before. I mean, my intern and I just looked at each other like, what is going on here? Oh my gosh. And just as we were finishing the book, just like our jaws were dropped the entire time, the mom came back in. And the book was over. And it was just incredible because she had just blown us away. And I was so sad that her mom had missed this. But I'm really excited to hopefully duplicate that this week. But it was just one of those moments where it's like, wow, my job is amazing. I get to witness this and, you know, see this in action. And, you know, of course, I went in not expecting anything like that. But lo and behold, you know, my client had blown me away with this progress. So that was just kind of a cool thing that happened recently. But I do have another client that stands out to me and is part of the reason that solidified for me that I definitely wanted to work with children, and that was I was on the right path. And that was actually way back in my internship. I was one of my internship placements was at an early childhood school. And I was working with this little three-year-old boy. His name was Miles. And oh my gosh, he was just the sweetest, most adorable child in the entire world. And I don't know, there was just like this connection that I had with him and seeing him progress throughout that entire school year. I'll just never forget the feeling that I had working with him and knowing that I was in the right place. And he'll just always stand out to me as really, you know, being a motivating factor in my music therapy career.
Yeah, a motivating, and it sounds like validating factor too.
Yeah, validating. That's the perfect word for it. In fact, when I was pregnant and found out that I was having a boy, Miles was like the name that I was really, really excited about. And it may or may not have been because of that little boy. Unfortunately, I got vetoed, but Miles is very important to me, even to this day.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How about Matt? You talked a bit about the hospice, but are there any clinically significant moments you would like to share?
Oh man, there's a million of them. So many, and from in so many different settings. So I worked in pediatrics for quite a while, and there were a ton there too. Just so I wouldn't even know where to start. I guess hospice is a good place because that was also a place where I could collect other people's stories. And if that makes any sense, I got to hear so many stories about being at the battle at Normandy, or playing at bluegrass festivals, and just so even an old lady told me about, that's probably not the nice way to say it, an older lady who was telling me stories about going skinny dipping, like in the 20s. Just really, I don't know, so many different stories, and hearing those, and being in the position to aid in the reminiscence of these, and sometimes adult children hearing them for the first time, hearing these stories, just how music can draw that out, and being a part of it. Now there are plenty of clinical stories and stories about clinical outcomes, things like reducing pain or assisting at a end of life type of moment, where those will always stick with me, but they're a little bit harder to relate, I think. So we're lucky to get to experience what we do, and see the changes that music, and sometimes just being like a receptive person being able to build rapport with someone, what that can do to a relationship, and the stories that it'll create that maybe you share with other people, and some that you just kind of keep for yourself. And, you can always look back on them and smile and think, man, we did some good work together.
For the past 4 years, you've heard us tell you about Music Therapy Pro, a community of music therapists with access to members-only forum, resource lists, videos, exclusive podcasts, discounts with select members, and CMTE courses. As we've mentioned over the last few months, Music Therapy Pro is undergoing a facelift. It's still too soon for us to spill the beans, but in just a few weeks, we'll be rolling out some changes that we'll be sure to share with you.
And we actually are working on this. If you've been listening for a while, we've been saying the same thing for a bit, but don't worry. We're on it.
Yes, we are. Lots of hard work is going on behind the scenes. Well, I have a really cool resource to share with you guys as my cool resource of the month. If you're like me, you have been using your Voice Memos app on your phone to record a quick draft of a song idea, or if you're in a session and you want to quickly record a song that you came up with on the spot, this Voice Memos app has been essential. But Apple, I guess, heard from lots of musicians who were using that Voice Memo app and wanted to give us something even better. So they just recently came out with something called Music Memos. And basically, it's a recording app that lets you record song ideas using just your external mic of your phone, your iPad. And the app will actually follow your lead, your tempo, your melody, and add both bass and guitar, or bass and drum backing tracks.
What?
It is so cool. And not that you necessarily need those things when you're just jotting down or recording a song idea, but it's really cool to – it kind of just helps you flesh out that idea a little bit more. And so I've recently just started kind of playing with it, but it's free. And it's just a neat little app for musicians, and especially if you're a songwriter or a budding songwriter, it's worth downloading and trying out. So we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's called Music Memos, so go check it out.
I'm going to download that immediately.
Oh, yeah, you'll love it.
As soon as I hang up here. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to check that out. And we'd also like to give a shout out to our Perky Pro partners, our Pro Perk partners. Music Therapy Pro members receive discounts on products and services from Metro Music Therapy's paper, Music Therapy eBooks. What do you know about that, Michelle? Music Therapy mailings, Wholesome Harmonies Music Therapy, A Perfect Lullaby. Oh, I know something about that. The Music Therapy Research Blog, Listen and Learn. Oh, Rachel, we got everybody on here. Music Therapy Maven, Bearpaw Creek, and Session Cafe. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for joining us. To see the show notes, go to www.musictherapyroundtable.com. If you liked this podcast, take your skills to the next level by visiting Music Therapy Pro. Although currently under construction, very soon you can have unlimited access to almost a dozen CMTEs. Check it out at www.musictherapypro.com. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Music Therapy Roundtable podcast.